Kashus, Rabbi Pelkowitz, Rabbi Feiner, and everyone who's still willing to listen. So the story is told that on one afternoon in the city of Mezhebezh in Russia, the Heilig Baal Shem Tov, as we know, the Baal Shem Tov lived in Mezhebezh, so the story goes that he looks out of his window, he was in his study learning, he picks his eyes up and he sees right out the window Reb Chaikel the water carrier. That was his name, simple water carrier, and he sees him slowly pedaling through the town, going through the city, with weighty buckets on his shoulders, and feeling bad as he notices that this Reb Chaikel, this water carrier, looks completely hunched over. He seems to have his water spilling all over the streets. He can't even keep it in the buckets. So the Baal Shem Tov reaches out to him and he says, "You know, Reb Chaikel, your dear, your beloved to our community, how's your parnasa going? What's doing?" So the poor water carrier, what's he supposed to say? He begins to describe to the Baal Shem Tov his frustration and his sheer bitterness with his life. And he says to him, "You know, Baal Shem Tov, Heilige Rebbe, I'm so worn out with my life. I really don't have any strength anymore to do what I'm doing. My family needs me to continue to work, even though the job that I do really doesn't pay for the income, really doesn't pay for the needs that our family has, the simple needs. And I can't even sustain them. And I really don't know why I continue to do this every day. As you see, I'm a hunchback. And every time when I draw water and I carry it on my shoulders, all the water spilling out all over the place. By the time I reach the house where I'm trying to get, I hardly have anything left. I just feel so worthless. I feel so insignificant. I don't understand what I'm doing." Okay? So the Baal Shem Tov tries to reassure him that things will be okay. And the very next day, the Baal Shem Tov, once again, is learning in his study, and he looks out the window, and again, he chances upon the same Reb Chaikel, the water carrier, is doing his job. And once again, he sees that he's buckling over and that his water's spilling out of the bucket. So he turns to him and he says, "Nu, Reb Chaikel, what's doing? How's your parnasa today?" So this time, surprisingly, the response of this water carrier is drastically different than the day before. Heilige Rebbe, said Reb Chaikel, he says, "You know, it's an amazing thing. How can I even think about complaining with my life? Look at me, I'm a hunchback. I can hardly walk anymore. Every time I draw water, almost all of it spills out by the time I get to the home where I'm trying to get. I don't make that much money, but can you imagine? The people in this community are so incredibly nice to me. They see how poorly I do my job, and yet they're still willing to hire me. It's amazing. I can't believe it. It's incredible." And he says, "Most people my age can't even get out of their homes. They can't take a job. Most people that I know can't even get out of their beds. My wife, every day, she can't even get out of bed. I have to serve her breakfast in bed and give her coffee, give her tea. And look at me. Look at my spirit. Look at the strength that I have. Look how nice the community is to me. It's incredible. I'm so blessed. I'm so fortunate to have the life that I have." So, Baal Shem Tov is very surprised. This is the same person that just the day before is telling him how bitter, how terrible, how difficult his life is, and all of a sudden he's telling him how blessed he is. He can't get over it. He's overwhelmed. So the Baal Shem Tov commented after this story that he now understood a very profound understanding to a Gemara that he never understood before. He said the Gemara tells us, as we all know, on Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. The Gemara tells us, we know that this is quoted in the Tefillos on Rosh Hashanah as well, that on Rosh Hashanah we're all going to pass through Kivnei Maron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge each one of us, and the Gemara has a whole bunch of explanations what that means, but obviously it means that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. At the same time, the Gemara tells us, the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, that Adam Nidon B'chol Yom, a person seems to be judged and reevaluated each and every day of his life. So which one is it, asked the Baal Shem Tov? Am I judged on Rosh Hashanah? Is it that everything for the coming year is going to be determined in just a couple of days? Or do we assume, asked the Baal Shem Tov, that this process of judgment is really a lingering process and it's something that seems to continue to develop and evolve over the course of the year? What does it mean? Do we assume that Adam Nidon B'Rosh Hashanah? Or do we assume that Adam Nidon B'Chol Yom? Said the Baal Shem Tov, after I met this water carrier, I now understand how to explain and how to put together these two Gemaras. Perhaps it suggested the Baal Shem Tov, when it comes Rosh Hashanah, obviously it is a Yom HaDin for us, but he said, Rosh Hashanah is only going to determine the general category of life that we're going to live. Are we going to be doctors? Are we going to be lawyers? Are we going to be therapists? Are we going to be teachers? That is decided, that's determined on Rosh Hashanah. That aspect of the life. The klali, the general outlook of which bracket we're going to find our lives being led in. But, said the Baal Shem Tov, each and every day, Adam Nida Mechol Yom means that we're also granted the renewed opportunity and the great gift to choose. And that is to choose how we are going to spend those precious moments of the life that we've been given. Yes, on Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts us in a bracket for the coming year, but how are you going to live in that bracket? And that's what the Gemara is addressing. Adam Nida Mechol Yom. It is in our hands, says the Gemara, to determine for ourselves whether that day, that particular day in the bracket that we live, is going to be one in which we'll have an attitude of satisfaction. Are we going to have fulfillment in what we do? Like the water carrier on the second day, where he really appreciated the life that he lived? Or, on the contrary, are we going to feel sort of embittered, acrimonious about the lifestyle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us into? That is a choice, said the Baal Shem Tov, that we have the opportunity to determine each and every day. And that's something that's not decided on Rosh Hashanah. That's something that's left up to us. Adam Nida Mechol Yom. Are we going to be the water carrier on the first day? Or are we going to be the water carrier on the second day? What is our outlook going to be on the life that we lead? The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin a pretty famous story I'm sure many of us have heard about Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya. Just not to get too much into the details, but basically for many years this Elazar ben Derdaya was involved in the most disgraceful acts. He was so involved in immorality and decadence, his life. He was living like a low life, the lowest in the community. And after realizing after many years how far down his life had gone and how far astray he actually brought himself, he began finally to seriously consider becoming a Baal Tshuva. And the Gemara tells us that he cried the most sincere and the most heartfelt tears, and he had the deepest feelings of regret, of charata, of remorse for the unbecoming lifestyle that he had led for all these years while he was living in the community that he lived. And as a direct result, says the Gemara, of the passionate cries and the intense emotional experience of tshuva that he was going through, the Gemara tells us that Elazar ben Derdaya lost his life. He got so involved in the experience that he was doing, the tshuva process that he was in the middle of, he lost his life. He was overwhelmed. And immediately following his death, the Gemara tells us that a bas kol was heard to those who were around that it said, a famous line, Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya, mezuman l'chayi ha'olam haba. His tshuva was accepted. Although he lived like a low life his whole life, he was involved in the lowest of the low, immorality, decadence, everything, but still, he was mezuman l'chayi ha'olam haba. He was invited to have a special place in olam haba. But the Gemara comments a very interesting addition to that story. The story didn't end there. Says the Gemara that upon hearing this very unexpected bas kol, the Gemara says, Bacha Rebbe Va'amar. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the great Tana, was heard crying as he heard this bas kol come down from Shamayim, as Rabbi Elazar ben Derdaya lost his life. Bacha Rebbe Va'amar, says the Gemara, Rebbe cried and he said, Yesh kona olamo bekama shanim. There are those who acquire life in many years of their experience on this world. However, says the Gemara, Rebbe also commented that Yesh kona olamo b'sha achas, a famous line. There are those who are fortunate enough to gain entry into olam haba just through a fleeting moment, through an ephemeral situation, through an experience that they have that's just very fleeting, it's very quick. And just from that sincere tshuva, from that personal introspection, they're already able to gain a special place in Olam Haba. Bacha Rebbe V'Amar. So the Mizrich Maggid points out that if in fact Rebbe was amazed by the potency, by the power of tshuva, look, even a person who lives a life like Elazar ben Derdaya, even he has a chance. He's never abandoned. We're never alone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always leaves room for us to come back, and he leaves a special place in Olam Haba for all of us. So ask the Mizrich Maggid, why is he crying? Bacha Rebbe V'Amar? That's not a reason to cry. That should be the greatest chizuk. That should be for us the greatest accomplishment, that as long as we realize before the end of our lives that we just need to take a few minutes, a fleeting moment, to have a little bit of personal introspection, there's still room for us in Olam Haba. Why are you crying, Rebbe? What's so sad about that? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an incredible awareness that Rebbe came to as he watched the story of Elazar ben Dodaya unfold? Explains the Medrash Magid, it's an incredible insight. And it really takes the Gemara and flips it to the opposite extreme, what we would have expected. But he says, yes, it might be true that Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya procured himself a space in Olam Haba. Yes, it might be true that he gained entry in the last minute, he slipped in right before he died. Just before it was too late, he got himself in there. But you know why I cry, said Rebbe? Because even if a Jew eventually makes it to Olam Haba, even if in the end of the day he did get himself in there, he slipped through the door, but we cannot ignore, said Rebbe, we can't ignore the reality that this person's journey of life was pathetic. And it doesn't matter that in the end of the day he has a spot in Olam Haba. That's not what it's about. And if we can take that message, perhaps to contemporize it a little bit, it's true that Rebbe teaches us that true vitality and existence in the world is not just about saying Parshas Haman after davening every day, or saying Shira Shirim on Erev Shabbos, and they're wonderful and they're great things to do. And it's not about going 40 days to do this or 40 days to do that and this mitzvah and that little thing or this gimmick. It's not about adding names and letters to our original birth name that we were given. Although it might be true that all of these quick fixes might get us into Olam Haba, they might do a lot for us, and who knows what they can do. It's not for us to judge and it's not for us to say. But that's not all that our lives are supposed to be about. That's not what our experience is all about. It's not just about getting ourselves access through the door. It's not just about slipping in, said Rebbe. It's rather about that reality that the Baal Shem Tov speaks about. That Adam Nidon B'chol Yom. It's the experience, the daily challenges that we face, that all of us face. Everyone in his own place, everyone in his own madrega. Everybody has those challenges. The Adam Nidim Mechol Yom. How are we going to spend the life, the days that we've been given in the bracket that we're so lucky to be given? How are we going to use every single one of those days? Which kind of water carrier are we going to act like? And if you look at the life of Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya, said Rebbe, it in and of itself is a good enough reason to cry, because that's somebody who's left the world without the slightest notion, without the smallest understanding or appreciation for what the journey of life of a Jew is really supposed to be. And that, said Rebbe, is the greatest tragedy one can ever imagine. Bacha Rebbe v'amar, yesh kono olamo b'sha'achas. How sad is that? That he thought that life is just about slipping in the door to Olam Haba. There's a story told about Rabbi Yashiv. I read it in the biography that Art Scroll put out about him. I think this story, to me, was the most, at least for my style, made the greatest impact from the whole book that I read. And the story goes that Rabbi Yashiv had a sixth-generation grandchild born in Bnei Brak. I don't even know what you call that, but whatever it's called, it was a sixth-generation grandchild, and the grandparents came to Rabbi Yashiv with great emotion, and they asked him if he would be willing to serve as the Sandik in Bnei Brak the next week for their new child that was born. And he was filled with great emotion. He's had now a sixth generation grandson. He's thrilled. And he profusely thanked the family members for giving him this great opportunity, for offering him to be the Sandik at the Bris. What a great schus. But he then informed them that for whatever reason, for personal reasons, he didn't feel that he would be able to attend the bris. So rather surprised by his refusal, the grandchildren, a little bit younger than he was, a lot younger I should say, they began to question the decision of their most beloved and their grandfather, Rabbi Yashiv. And one grandchild says, how can you miss it? And the other one screaming and yelling. And finally, one grandchild says the following. He says, hey, Le Gazedi, I don't understand. Don't you know? You know better than we know that the Mekubalim write in their Svarim that if somebody goes and he acts and he serves as a Sandik for a sixth generation grandchild, Don't you know that the Mekubalim say that you'll be ushered directly into Olam Haba? So how can you refuse such an offer? Here we are, you had a 6th generation grandchild. We're offering you to come and be the Sandig and you're turning us down? How can you turn us down? Don't you know what the Mekubalim say? So Rabbi Yashiv, not meeting a beat, for those who have read stories about him, he was very sharp. And at 98 years old, the story goes that he responded the following. He said, "Listen closely, my grandchildren, I love you, but I want you to understand this." He said, "My plan in life is to be able to access and enter Olam Haba one day through the front door. I have absolutely no interest in walking through the side entrances that you're describing into Olam Haba. It's not what I'm here for. I don't care for that. It might get me in, it's true. The Mekubalim say that. Maybe if I go and be the Sandik, I'll make it through, but that's not my objective in life." What a powerful lesson the Rebbe Yashiv taught his grandchildren and the world. And we thank them for sharing it with us because it's such a powerful story. Such a rich and deep understanding and perspective that we can put into the story of Bacha Rebbe V'Amar really puts it into a beautiful light. That when we reflect on the life of Rebbe Elazar ben Derdaya, when we think about it, the problem with quick fixes is not that they don't work. That's what Rebbe Yashiv taught us. It's not that they don't work. They might work, and they might get us in, but they only get us in through the side door. The problem is that we dangle ourselves on these skulas, on these kinds of quick fixes, and they really don't make an impact on the way we deal with the Adam Nida Mechol Yom. They don't impact the way we see every day that we're given. We might recite the Perek Shira or the Shira Shirim and do all the wonderful things, and we might do it with tremendous kavana, and it is an amazing accomplishment to do that. We might eat skula foods, and we might do whatever somebody tells us to do, but in the end of the day, that's not where our Yiddishkeit can stop. We can't dangle ourselves, we can't hang on those things. We still have an entire day of mitzvahs to keep, to accomplish. We have a whole Shulchan Aruch that we're expected to follow, and it doesn't stop when we leave shul. Doesn't stop when we finish the skula, when we finish saying the little tefillah that we say after a particular tefillah. It's not just about slipping ourselves through the door. That's not our objective and it's not our purpose. It's not the great accomplishment that we look forward to in our own lives. Now the pasuk says in Sefer Hosea, "Kechui machem dvarim v'shuvu el Hashem." It's a pasuk that's quoted quite often at this time of the year. And Reb Zevin in his beautiful Sefer La Torah V'la Mo'adim points out that so often, he says, al derech hadrash, perhaps an idea behind this pasuk is that so often we find ourselves with a variety and an assortment of dvarim, all sorts of dvarim that we do in our lives. We recite different kinds of bakashos, different words, and we choose different various skulas and different things. All these dvarim, says Reb Zevin, might be wonderful, and they might really make a difference someday, and they might even work. But the Navi tells us over here, and he warns very clearly, that we have to make sure to take all of these dvarim. Kichu imachem dvarim, says the Navi Hosea. We can't leave our Judaism, our Yiddishkeit behind in shul. We can't leave it by those dvarim. That's not where it ends. Kichu imachem dvarim. You have to take the messages of all of those dvarim that we do and bring them into the challenges, into the temptations that we have in our businesses and whatever we do throughout the day in any profession we might have. There are challenges in every profession, and it doesn't mean only in the profession of business. We have challenges in teaching Torah. We have challenges in everything that we do as well. Everybody has challenges in whatever business or whatever profession it might be. And that's a very incredibly difficult standard that we are expected to live by. But says Reb Zevin, that's what it means. Kechui machem dvarim v'shuvu el Hashem. It's not good enough to do all the dvarim. You have to take those dvarim with us and make sure that they impact the way that we live that Adam Nidon Bechol Yom experience. You have to make sure that it impacts the way we think about our attitude on each and every particular day and to all the difficulties and the challenges that we all are faced with and whatever we might busy ourselves with throughout the year and throughout the day. Yes, it might be true, said Rebbe, that Yesh Kona Olama B'Sha'achas. But as we said, our lives are not just about slipping through the gates. It's not getting through the side door, like Rabbi Yashiv said. The Baal Shem Tov's water carrier taught us that Adam Nidam B'Chol Yom means the daily encounters, the difficult challenges that we have are things that we're expected to live up to. And their experiences that we're expected, that inner confrontation that we have all the time, our most private, our most personal struggles that we all have, we are given the power that Adam Nidam Bechol Yom, we are given the power to determine when each and every one of those experiences are going to look like. Are they going to be used to produce and to create an attitude of fulfillment, of content, to make the best of every moment that we're given in our bracket of life? Or are we going to unfortunately do the opposite? If I can just take the opportunity to humbly wish each and every member of our kehillah that we all have a shnas geula v'yeshua, a shnas chayim v'shalom. May we all continue to have nachas from our children, from our families. May our community only know simchas and besiros tovas in the coming year. And may we all be zocha to aksiva v'chasima tova and agud k'ben shtiyar. Amen. V'chein yihi ratzon.